Good morning.
Good morning.
I don't know what to do up here right now, to be honest. Between Sean and the worship and Gabe and the encouraging word he read to us, I'm a little jacked up. I need to settle down just a little bit. I can tell you guys are pretty fired up, too. It's really, like, quiet and scary in here. Let's pray together, and we'll get started. Before we pray, one thing. Then we'll pray. There is a hayride. I know, Dolores, I'm sorry. Forgot to get in the bulletin. Next Saturday night at John and Dolores' house. John is cooking for everyone. And then he's served. No, I'm not going any further with that. He'll pound me at the back door. Anyway, there's a hayride at John and Dolores' house next Saturday evening at 5 o'clock. Next Saturday evening at 5 o'clock. And you are invited, welcomed, and really need to be there. We need you to be there. We're going to have a lot of fun. At least John and Dolores and I are, and I hope everybody else comes. Next Saturday at 5, clear your schedule. That'll be a good day. Let's pray together. Father, kind of got that feeling I have when you do the things you do so well in our lives. I'm really revved up a little bit here. It's just thrilling to watch your people share their love for you and their love for one another. When brother and sister hug and laugh and sing to you, you've made it very clearly that you are in those moments and you love them. And so, Father, thank you that we could be together this morning and that we could encourage one another with your word and song and with your word as it's just read and showered out over us. And Lord, now today as we enter into this part of the worship, as we look into your word for a few minutes, I pray that you would just keep doing what you're doing. I don't want to do this by myself. There's a lot of people going to go to sleep if I do that. But I want you to show up in your power and your might and really encourage us all, Father. We love you and we praise you. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Amen. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who found treasure in a field, and when he found it, he hid it again, and in his joy went and sold all he had and bought the field. The kingdom of heaven is that incredible. What God has called you and I to is that amazing, and it's more amazing than that. That's all he could do. I mean, all he could do was sell all he had. He couldn't do any more than that, and he's telling us very clearly, do you hear me? There's nothing you're a part of that is greater than this. There's nothing, no pursuit that you can chase that is greater than the kingdom of heaven. It truly is light and life and hope. And in that, then the call to us all would be, as we're a part of the kingdom of heaven, that we would share the kingdom with others so that they could also become part of the kingdom. That's what you do when you have something good. You don't sit on it and keep your mouth shut unless you're fearful. Then it's not good if it paralyzes you and makes you afraid. You tell people about it. You open your home when you get a nice home and you have people over and you feed them and you have fun with them. You do those things. You don't park your car in a garage when you get a nice. You drive it around and say, look at me, I got a nice car. And the kingdom of heaven will not be hidden either. It won't be hidden either, and you will tell the story if you get that you're a part of it and what it really is to be a part of it. Now, thank you, Jacob, if you'll click on that. And then the call to do that, the call to shine for him. Listen to what these stories. He says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Jacob, if you could back up, because we're going to come back to that for just a minute. I get light. I mean, I understand that it's really important. I'm really clumsy. And if it's too dark, I'm getting hurt in the house at night. I mean, I walk into walls. Really. I'm 6'5", and before blood starts rushing, I'm real awkward. And I'll go through and bump, thump, and I'll hear Kristen, what'd you do this time? And I'll just walk into walls. I don't have to have something in the way. If I can't see, I'm hitting it. And so it's really important for me to have light. And I know it's important to you. We know the stories, the testing of the research done when the sun's not out for a while in the winter, the people who struggle emotionally because of that. I mean, light is a big deal. And then there's some stories in my personal life. I remember baseball practice in high school one evening. A friend of mine needed a ride home, and he lived by a lake. The road kind of drove along this area that there was a big drop on or a wall on one side, and there was no room, no ditch. It's just wall, road, wall. On the other side, it was a drop off into the lake, and it's really curvy. I'm driving around at home, and I drop him off, and I'm going by the lake to go home, and my car headlights went out. In the curves, I'm going like 50 miles an hour through here, vroom, 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 trying to get home on time, and my lights went out. Just completely, I couldn't see anything. And I couldn't stop because there's no room for anybody to get by, and they couldn't see me anyway. And I'm like, I can't drive, I don't have lights, I can't sit here, someone's going to hit me. And I'm in all these curves. And I mean, you can imagine the unnerving. I'm trying to see, and I've got my head out the window thinking, I wish my headlights would work. That's kind of how this goes. I have light to see by. And you grasp that idea, and we already know the danger of not having light. I remember a few years ago, bordering on several, Gabe and Mandy, here in the front area, right in here, and my wife and I went to Carter Caves. Well, I don't know how many of you have been to Carter Caves. It's really a cool experience. And you get down to this one cave, and you're in there hanging out, and you know, you got this tour guide. He's kind of a Barney Fife guy. The stalactites cling tight to the ceiling, and the stalagmites, you might trip over them, you see? And he's real funny. You don't have to laugh. I mean, I thought he was funny. But he's always, you know, he's kind of corny, kind of odd. He laughs at all his jokes, like me. And then in the middle of all that, he turns off all the lights. And it's really, really, really dark. There's no artificial lighting, supposedly, but if, as you let your eyes kind of settle, there's this one little light in the room, and it's behind something over a rock or something, and it's so dim, but you can't see anything else, and so your eyes are constantly drawn to that. You're not staring around at the darkness. You're just pulled to that light, and your eyes are constantly going to the light. I remember a time in the Grand Canyon, as I started this series off with, about God calling us to an experience like that with Him. And on like the fourth day of going down the Colorado River with these guys, it's really dark every evening. There's no artificial lighting there either. But on like the fourth day, there was a light on top of the canyon at some house or some business or something like that. And though it was getting dark and there was everything to see here, I kept finding myself looking up at that light, and people kept commenting on that light. Some lights you're happy about? No one was happy about that light. We're in the Grand Canyon. It's evening. It's beautiful. It's night. It's awesome. Nobody wants to see some light beaming in, but your eyes were pulled to it, and it was intrusive. But light is a big deal, right? I mean, it's a really big deal. When you need light, it's amazing. When you don't want it first thing in the morning and the light switches on, you're not real happy about it. But light, it is a big deal. And we're a lot in those same ways. Anyway, he says again, one more time, Jacob, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. By the way, I'll come back to those light illustrations in a few minutes. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So I'm a light. You got that? You're a light. And you got to let that light shine. This little light of mine, want to do that again? You're a light, and you got to let that light shine. What light is that? Okay, I get it. I'm a light of the world somehow. I'm not really sure. And I got to let my light shine before men so they may see me and tell me I'm really good. And you got a great light. Nice light. Yeah, what light? Where did I get this light? That gives me a headache sometimes. What am I supposed to do? Where did I get the light? Listen to some of these scriptures that are just incredible. Not yet. One moment, Jacob. I'm sorry. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. In Him, through Him, all things were made that have been made, and apart from Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was light or life, and that life was the light to men. And the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has never understood it. There was a man who came from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light. He himself was not the light. He was only a witness to the light, the true light that gives life to every man who's coming into the world. Okay, so Jesus is the light. He's the light, but he said, I was the light. So what light do I shine? How do I shine? What light am I supposed to be? John 8:12, listen to this one. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. David says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. But Jesus says, I'm light. Another verse, Jacob, please. This is the message we have heard from him and declared to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So Jesus is light, and God is light. This is the message we've heard from him and declared to you, that God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. So God is light. Jesus is light. Yet at the same time, he's told me I am light. What light is that? 1 Peter 2:9. Here's some answers to some of these questions. We'll get there. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So he's called me into his light, right? He is light. He called me into his light. Next verse, please. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. He let his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Jesus Christ. And one more here. Maybe this will help clarify it a little bit. Therefore, since we have... I'll get to that one in a moment. Stay there, please. Thanks, Jacob. Therefore, since we have such a great hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. And you remember, Moses is on the mountain, and he's hanging out with God. The Ten Commandments, the stories are told, the fellowship with God. And when he would come down, his face shone the glory of God. I mean, his face, it like weirded everybody out. And they didn't want to look at him, so he put a veil over his face till it toned down a little bit because he was in God's presence. Isn't that cool? Or scary or something. but this is saying, we are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Now here we're up on the screen in the message. Whenever, though, they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil, and there they are, face to face with God. That's really cool, isn't it? They suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. We're free from it, all of us. Nothing between us and God. Our faces shining with the brightness of his face, and so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah. And what he's saying is, when you get in the presence of God, you're different. There's a transformation. What light am I to shine? It's really his light. I know we know that. We just don't know it. I mean, if we did, we'd do it better. Not that you don't do it well, but we do it better. It would be clearer if we knew it. It's not my light. I don't have a light. You know the story of the moon and the sun, right? You've heard it before. I'm not the sun. The sun's the sun. Jesus is the sun. And I reflect him. God poured it in my heart. He shines on me as I'm being transformed by him. And his light in me comes out. If he's doing a transformation, it can't be hidden, right? How could God hang out with Moses and Moses' face not shine? And how could God hang out with us and the world not be able to see it? We weren't called a flashlight. We're light. No on-off switch. In his presence, we are changed. Jesus in me, that's the light. But the shining deal, how do I do that? Where do I do that? What would that look like? I could, and I will go through a few of these things, but I got a feeling we could fill this one in really well, really quickly, right? Take just a moment. Let's have a moment here. I'm just going to be quiet. I want you to think about the ways that God would have you shine before others, okay? Just with yourself there for just a moment. Think about the ways God would use you to shine. You guys hear some shining up here? That's what you do when you're happy and content, right? And that's what Jesus does in us. There's just a little hum in this little girl. It's awesome. See, here's the deal. I know you're thinking about ways to shine. Here's why I'm telling you have to shine. I don't mean you have to shine. You shine. I watch you, and you shine, and I hear about you, and you hear about me, and we shine. Maybe not the best always, but we're getting there, right? We're shining better and better and brighter and brighter. That's what he's doing in us. But remember the illustration. My car headlights go out, right? We're in the canyon and light. So, I mean, there are people who need the light. Men are lost. And they're in great pain and they're hurting. And you hear so often the struggle in life referred to as darkness. Man, I was in darkness. Man, when I was doing that stuff, it was like this heavy cloud over me. Man, this stuff was going on and I felt like I could never get light. Man, there's light at the end of the tunnel. Hang on. I mean, you know the stories, right? Struggles in life is always related to darkness, heaviness. There's a cloud over and God's going, I made light. I made you light to shine for those guys. Shine what? Me. Who you are, me in you, shining that light. Not hammering some scripture, shining the salvation in you. Yeah, maybe sometime it's quoting a scripture or two, but it's letting your light shine consistently because, man, there are people in so much darkness and they want light, hoping and begging. You've even heard the stories of prayer. Send someone, send help. I don't know what to do, God. And the next moment, there's someone helping someone else needing light. And then there's the story of the Grand Canyon. This just cracks me up. That we're in the Grand Canyon, and there's a light up there, and we're a little ticked off about it. Turn the light off. That's like pollution of this wonderful national park. And I'm reminded that there are people who who our light is such an invasion to them. It's intrusive. It's an unwanted guest. It's not welcome. You're bothering me. You're irritating me. Just shut up. Bug off. Get lost. And isn't that how you feel about the knife of a surgeon too, when he's cutting to give life, to change whatever's going wrong in someone's body that you love dearly? Yes, a scalpel's unwelcome. Yes, a surgery to your body is not wanted, but it does great healing, right? It does good things. And so the struggle here is that when we face someone who doesn't want light, what do? Do you cower and hide? Shut it off? Stop shining? Go hide? No. No, light, the light of God can't be put out. And the stories are so often told of, man, I didn't like that guy. I want him to bug off. But he kept doing what he always did. And God won my heart. Because the light exposes everything that's missing. It exposes the pain. It exposes the heartache. It exposes the death. And then God can go in and start working and drawing to the light. I mean, we know this stuff. I'm not telling anyone anything new. The light, your light, is so important to those who want it, and even more so to those who don't. They need it so desperately. You are light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp. You're light of the world. A city on a hill can't be hidden. You can't not see it. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. It wouldn't make any sense. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, they may see your good deeds and praise your Father. We're the light of the world. Listen, this is so huge. If we don't shine, where do they get light? If you don't shine, where are they going to get light? How are they going to see? If we're not who God called us to be, how are they going to get light? The drug addicted, the human trafficked, the homeless, those who are so unwanted, or those maybe those who you do want and you like to be around, but they need light. How are they going to get light? If God doesn't shine in you, it's not a game where I get to lose heart and lose hope and hope someone else on my team picks up the slack. There's only one batter. It's me. And I'm to the plate. And it's crunch time. You don't get to say, well, he's on deck. We got another out. People don't have another out. And it's not heavy for you. You get to be light. It's heavy for them because sometimes we aren't light. It's not a game where you get to lose your nerve and not swing. It's not a job where we think, I don't like that job. It's kind of icky. Maybe someone else will do it. There's no one else. It's your moment to shine the light. It's your time to shine the light. Albert Pujols was 4 for 5, 5 for 6 last night in the World Series. 3 home runs, 2 other hits. I don't know what they were, but he swung away. As if there was no one else playing offense. It's time for us to be light. Just to be what he called us to be. I think the greatest thing that I struggle with is the call to this light as if it's a chore, something I got to do. I got to turn this thing on and shine for this guy. He's really struggling. Someone ought to go help them. They're having a hard time. This isn't a chore. It's identity. You are light. It's what you are. It's your essence. It's your being spiritually. You are light. Who else would do it? Who do you want to turn it over to? The Son of God shined on you and said, now you shine. Who would you want to do this? God put you in the moment. No thanks. Let him? No way. This is too good. It's so beyond us. It's so much better than us that we would get a shine. Who would you give it to? Who would you rather? Pinch hitter? No way. Give me the bat. But there's two outs. I don't care. It's Jesus and the souls he loves. And the moon just reflects the sun. And we just reflect Jesus in the tough times and in the good times. And there are both. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. So let your light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and not say, what a wonderful shiner of light you are. But say, wow, God must truly be amazing. What I do? Well, I don't know. It's just being around you. I feel light. I feel hope. I can breathe. Everything feels so different when you're around. What I say? I don't know. You didn't really say anything. What I do? You didn't really do anything. It's just God's presence showing up in you. God's light shining in you. And we could go through and make a list of the do's and the don'ts, how you should shine and what things you should do. But you know those already. And what you don't know, when God is living in you, he makes it clear, does he not? I should go do that. I don't feel like it. No, you need to go do it. Only one batter, you. And it's time to swing. Do everything without grumbling or complaining so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of light, of life. You shine like stars in the universe. I've heard it said so many times. Nobody walks out on a crisp, cool night and says, wow, look at all that darkness. And they're looking up at the stars. They look up and go, look at the stars. They're amazing. And that's what people see in you when you live like God has called you to live. And you do it well, sunshine. Let's pray together. Father, thanks so much for this day. Thanks for this time that we could spend together. Lord, to shine for you is such an amazing call. Such a precious job, or life, or blessing, opportunity. Help us to know, Lord, that we don't have a job that we've got to figure out how to do. We just got to get close to you so you can shine on us and shine through us to others. Bless us now, Father, as we sing the invitation song. If there's hearts here that have not given their souls to you, help them to come forward and be immersed into you and accept the new life and the spirit that you would give them. And anyone struggling, Lord, struggling with light, hope, help them just to come and spend some time with our elders. And we'll pray with them and be encouraged. We love you, God. You are wonderful. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. If you desire to respond in any way, there'll be an elder on either side of the room up here. You can come and speak to them. Why don't you